Well, a very blessed and wonderful midweek church service that we're about ready to begin. Praise God that He has protected us through the first half of this week, and praise Him for His many and wonderful blessings to each one of us. So welcome, dear ones. Welcome to those that are on the phone and to those that will be listening to the recorded service. And it sure is a wonderful time to be alive. And it's also a very solemn time to be alive, for things are going to continue to get worse, and people are more and more going to be crying peace and safety, but sudden destruction is going to come and catch them unawares. And praise God for His Word that has given us admonitions and warnings so that we could be prepared and not caught off guard through all of these different things that are going to be occurring. And especially may God be praised for allowing us to hide ourselves in Christ Jesus and to stand on that immovable and firm rock and not have to worry about falling or being destroyed. That we can be safe and hid under His wings. So again, welcome, dear ones. And our opening song for this evening is entitled Stand Up for Jesus. The link is lightministries.com/ID1931.htm. So stand up for Jesus.
Praise God. Good evening, everyone, and blessings to everyone listening online.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, His army shall He lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in this His glorious day. Ye that are Christ, now serve Him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger, and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, and watching unto prayer. Where calls the voice of duty, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To Him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
Amen. Amen. And it is indeed a time that we need to stand up for Jesus, and we need to confess Him before men and women. so that we might have our name confessed before the Father, and that more precious souls can escape from darkness into the marvelous light as it is in Jesus. So it's a wonderful time to be alive, and it's definitely time to let your faith be seen by others by living it day by day, moment by moment, in your family, outside of your family, wherever you go. Be instant in season and out of season for the Lord. I invite you to please bow your heads and kneel for opening prayer for tonight's midweek church service. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for thy many and wonderful blessings. We thank you that you are in control of all things, that there's nothing that can catch you by surprise, but you've already prepared for it. You've already alerted thy people. You're already preparing their hearts to know how to deal with it by sending your Spirit and giving them the wisdom and grace to represent thee under any and all circumstances and conditions. Father, we give you full and complete control of this meeting. We pray that thy presence will be here in our midst, ruling in each heart. We pray that the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit will be here as well, to lead and guide us, to grant us the atmosphere from above, to dispel all darkness, and to have our hearts prepared to receive the word of truth. I pray, Father, that you'll be with Brother Joel. Please grant him thy wisdom, grant him thy grace. Please, Spirit, speak through him. Let self be hid and Jesus revealed. And let the words that are shared not be lost, but be well received, embedded in our minds, retained by our memories, and brought forth to live through us in seeking to save the lost, and first beginning with our own hearts. Thank you so much for allowing us to be alive for just such a time as this, and help us to use the talents that you have blessed us with, no matter how many or few they might be, for your glory and the spreading of thy kingdom. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, we still have our guest speaker, Brother Joel, and praise the Lord for that. And the link that he'll be referring to in his quotes is lightministries.com/capital SDA/ID1360.htm. So lightministry.com/capital SDA/ID1360.htm. And so, Brother Joel, welcome, and we look forward to hearing the words of life that you have for us this evening.
Praise the living God, really, and thank you, dear brother. God bless you all. It really is, it's always a blessing to be here, gathering together with our brothers and sisters. I find no greater joy, truthfully, in being in anything else except for being with amongst the brothers and sisters and I'm rejoicing in the Lord, I have to say that. I have to share this because I'm a little bit winded. I've just barely got in the door, and I'll tell you something, though, too, because it's about listening, and it really ties into this, and I don't know if the Lord allowed it to happen this way for me to have my time cutting so quickly in transport because I was out traveling. So I pray you still bear with me as I share this. And I was looking like I was really, really, really behind the time. The Lord was trying to teach me something, and it also means, you know, that we have to listen. And the listening and the learning that I needed to be doing was to manage my time more appropriately. That still ties into all of these different things. That's why I'm sharing it.
But at the same time, he reassured me that I would make it here, and I would make it on time. I didn't really listen to that. Instead, I kept watching my clock, and as the train was moving and the bus was moving, I kept watching my clock, and I wasn't really listening in peace. And we really have to do that, and especially in, you know, the situation of being able to, as this little study has been about, being able to share the Word of God and the Gospel and the end time message and the love of Christ. We have to listen to the Holy Spirit in every area of our lives. We really do. And we have to trust that we, you know, in training our ears, our spiritual ears to hear the Holy Spirit, we will know when we need to move this way or when we need to move that way, when we need to speak, when we need to be still. And my dear brothers and sisters, I'm still learning. And I suppose we all are, but I tend to feel that I'm definitely learning a whole lot harder than most everybody else. So he let me know I would make it, and I praise the living God because he was right on point, as he always is, and I did make it right in time for when our dear brother Rob was talking about the opening song. I was putting my bags down and picked my dear wife had everything laid out for the netbook because I had to bring my other equipment with me for where I had went, and everything was set up. She had everything ready. I just had to press the mic and go. So I praise the living God for him basically humbling me and teaching me at the same time. And I got here because it really is a burden to my heart. I really like to be responsible. I really want to be, especially in the things of God. It's just so important. It's so exceedingly important. So thank you all for your prayers and for being so patient with me over these last few weeks as we've been going through this little study. We have just a couple of more points to go and to share, and I pray that there will be a blessing to you. Let's see. And as we've gone over, I'm on the little netbook, so it takes me a little longer to scroll down than on the other one. So bear with me. I'm getting down there. And we had gone over, we're down to 7. We've gone over 4, 5, and 6 and for the last week, talking about reaching out to everyone, and that's in every aspect of our lives. And power and simplicity mean the shortest route from point A to point B is a straight line. The simplicity in speech, not making things complicated for anyone to hear, not using any kind of strange words and more expensive words than even we can speak in order to make ourselves understood, because the gospel is truly very simple and powerful all on its own and amazing and breathtaking, really, when we stop and really truly consider how great a salvation we are being called into by God's grace. So without further delay, I'm going to move to point number 7. And point number 7 is never neglect the powerful simplicity of the cross. And my little note on the side of that was the key is to remember the message that first saved you. I want to read this through first, and then I will speak to that one little key there because it really is something to be spoken about. A godly woman once made the remark, "Oh, that we could hear the pure gospel as it used to be preached from the pulpit. Our minister is a good man, but he does not realize the spiritual needs of the people. He clothes the cross of Calvary with beautiful flowers which hide all the shame, conceal all the reproach. My soul is starving for the bread of life. How refreshing it would be to hundreds of poor souls like me to listen to something simple, plain, and scriptural that would nourish our hearts. There is need of men of faith who will not only preach but will minister to the people. Men are needed who walk daily with God, who have a living connection with heaven, whose words have power to bring conviction to hearts. Not that they may make a display of their talents and intelligence on ministers to labor, but that the truth may cut its way to the soul as an arrow from the Almighty. A minister, after preaching a Bible discourse,
which brought deep conviction to one of his hearers, was accosted with the question, "Do you really believe what you have preached?" "Certainly," he answered. "But is it really so?" asked the anxious questioner. "Certainly," said the minister, as he reached for his Bible. Then the man broke out, "Oh, if this is the truth, what shall we do?" "What shall we do?" thought the minister. "We?" What could the man mean? But the question forced its way to his soul. He went away to plead with God to tell him what to do. And as he prayed, there came to him with overwhelming force the thought that he had the solemn realities of eternity to present to a dying world. For 3 weeks, his place in the desk was vacant. He was seeking an answer to the question, "What shall we do?" The minister returned to his charge with an unction from the Holy One. He realized that his past preaching made little impression on his hearers. Now he felt upon him the terrible weight of souls. As he came to his desk, he was not alone. There was a great work to be done, but he knew that God would not fail him. Before his hearers, he exalted the Savior and his matchless love. There was a revelation of the Son of God, and a revival began that spread through the churches of the surrounding districts. Gospel Workers, page 32 to 33. I believe very much in my heart that the Lord laid this particular passage upon me because of its true simplicity and power. I do not know where you were when Jesus came to you through whatever vessel he used. I do not know what condition you were in. I do not know what you were struggling with. I do not know what your heart was crying out for. But you have to remember. It needs to be fresh and new. Because when Jesus comes to us, when we have been lost for so long, and our soul has been crying out for any answer at all, is there even a God? And Jesus comes through a vessel and says, "Yes, I am right here, and I'm here to save you." Where were you? What were you going through? What was your focus in your life that almost brought you possibly to a point of total destruction? And his hand, through some obedient, prayerful, studying child of his, reached out and he spoke through that person and said, "I love you and I want to save you. And you are not so filthy that I will not hold you, and I will not love you, and I will not save you. You are not so far gone. I love you. I really, really love you." And as maybe you pushed away in unbelieving, not thinking that anybody could possibly love you, and how firm and loving his hold was on your heart, as you felt him and you heard him say, "Oh, but I do. I love you." Don't believe the lie and stop looking at yourself with your eyes. I'm going to show you how to look at yourself with my eyes. When we bring the gospel to any poor soul, we have to remember where we were when we heard it, and it moved us, and it shook us, and it caused us to cry out, "Oh Lord, yes, save me." That's what we need to walk in. And we need to walk in that every single day. We should be rejoicing in it, because as soon as the answer comes,
As soon as we have confessed our sins, as soon as we have grabbed hold onto the faith that wasn't even ours but was given to us, and the power to repent which was given to us, and we grab hold onto His strength that we may have His strength, when that answer comes and the peace comes, do you remember the joy? Do you remember that peace that you had? Do you really remember it? Do you remember almost feeling like you could walk on air? The colors were greener and brighter. The birds seemed to sing a completely different tune, though they were the same birds singing outside your window just the day before. But now, why is it their song is so much sweeter? How does God do that? But you remember it? Do you remember it? Because that's what we have to bring when we walk out of our door every day. We need to bring and carry with us our first love. It's not always easy. I understand that, dear brothers and sisters, I do. And the battle can be raging at times. And it sometimes seems like every wave in every ocean is crashing upon our head. But I have learned this by mercy and grace to the Lord God Jesus Christ. When I keep my eyes stayed on Him, it's like, yeah, I see that the waves are crashing, but they really just aren't having that effect on me as if I took my eyes off of Him and looked at all the crashing. It was such a beautiful time. I'll share this part. When I was very young, I was in high school, as a matter of fact, I'd gone through some very, very difficult times of my youth and into some exceedingly dark things. So dark to where I was carrying around my own dark books to read because I needed some dark powers that would give me the strength I need to stop the bullies and stop people bothering me. And so I had gone through some rough stuff. And in school, I wasn't exactly known as someone who would believe anything about God. I'd gone through that phase, and that didn't work for me when I was younger. People used to think I was going to grow up, even as a child, I'm running around the street, in a Catholic environment because that was the influence of my mother, handing out these little things to hang on people's neck. It was thought by the age of 9, I was definitely going to grow up and be a priest. That was the thought. It was a done deal. Everyone felt it. Everyone thought it. I even started believing in it. But God had a different plan, and I praise His holy name, but it took more trials and it took more turmoil for me to go through that. By the time I had gotten to high school, things were really flipped upside down in my heart. However, the Lord still would keep sending someone who would try to teach me about Jesus. And there was this someone. This person's name, I'll remember it, was Donna. She was a classmate. She saw all the dark things I liked and all the dark powers I felt I wanted and needed. And this person was unwavering in wanting to try and tell me about Jesus. Now, obviously at that time, I didn't know end time message. I didn't know left time message. I didn't know I knew nothing. And what she understood was what she was taught. However, the Lord Jesus will work with what He's got to plant the seed of the gospel as it can be received at that time for that person. So she brought to me Jesus as she understood Him. And it was she was unwavering. She would not give up. No matter how much I was rude to her, she would not give up. She wanted to share Jesus with me, and she wanted me to see that I don't have to try and be evil and mean and cruel. I don't have to be that way. There was another way. She was persistent and persistent and persistent until I finally, you know, and after I got done joking about her, laughing at her, and all these other things, and I would sit and tolerate her, I actually started listening.
because I kept going back home wondering, what does she want with me? I've been through this religious stuff before already. I see what it gets me. It doesn't get me anywhere. I'm still getting all this treatment. My point is this. She didn't give up. And it helped. Because it was at that time, I believe I was like 15, that I actually took a Bible in my hand and truly started to read it. I actually would sit down and do a study. I actually started learning about mercy and grace and sin and salvation to the best of what she understood how to bring me. And it was at that point that I started falling in love with Jesus. And I remember standing on the walkway of my mom's home. And I had been going through these different studies, and we would go, I think it was like on Wednesday nights and things like that, and we'd have these nice little studies. And yes, I understand back then, I'm looking back, there's the guitars and there's all this other stuff going on, and we're singing and we're clapping hands. I understand that that was what was coming into the churches at that time. But to me, at that point in my life, I had never experienced anything like that, and I loved to read my Bible. I love to be able to pray. And I wanted everybody to have what I had. I shared it with everyone. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus all the time. That's what I was doing. In my youth of understanding and falling in love, I just, and it wasn't like this emotion thing. I mean, really, the colors were brighter, the birds were singing better, and the clouds and everything was puffier and, oh, my lands, even when it was a thunderstorm or raining, it was just a great day. Going through the school, the students, they didn't know who I was anymore because I didn't act the same way anymore. I really was changed. According to the measure of faith that God gave me, I was changed. That's the kind of first love experience that we need to have every day. To a point to where I'm standing on the walkway of my mom's home, and I'm leaning against the railing, which is no longer there now, it's been some years. And my prayer was, Lord, I want to be with you in heaven, and I want to be here when you get here. I want to see you get here. That was my prayer. And by the grace of the living God, I'm still here. And I have been through some dark valleys since that time. I've had some military time that just twisted my head inside out, running wild. God did not forsake me. And he would keep pulling and keep pulling and keep pulling. But I will never forget that dear young lady who was persistent and wanted to just share with me the love of Jesus. She wasn't trying to beat me over the head with scriptures. She just kept letting me know, but you know, Jesus does love you. Let me show you this. Okay, well, after I would give her this insult or mock this Bible or mock those scriptures, she would say, but he still loves you. We're going to talk some more later, okay? And I'd give her the whatevers. Back then, I don't think the word whatever was being used. I'm sure we had some other rude words to use. But she was persistent. And that's how the Lord Jesus is towards us. He is persistent. Because he really, really loves us. We have to have, in some measure, that same kind of loving, humble, meek, determined persistence in saving souls around us. We have to have it. Souls, and I tell you all this, brothers and sisters, time and again, and I guess it's just my little thing I have to keep saying. I speak to myself first, because I have to hold myself accountable first, and I have to look at myself first. I want to hunger for souls more than I have ever hungered for souls before. And I know that when we pray that way, the Lord will lay a burden. It may be for your neighbor. It may be for a brother or sister.
It may be for somebody who totally devastated your life. But if the Lord lays that burden, after you have prayed, Lord, I want a burden for souls, and the Lord Jesus gives you a specific burden, please, be obedient. Stir up inside of you your first love. Bring it up fresh. Plead for it before the Lord. Pray and say, I need that freshness again, oh God. I need it. Because I want that person who you've laid on my heart to experience the first love impressions that you put on my heart through every word that I speak to them. Even if they were to cuss me out, Lord, please let me remember. Let me remember the blood. Let me remember the cross. Let me remember the suffering. And let me remember what you delivered me from and the rejoicing you put in my heart. Because that person is in prison and is in bondage. And I want to be a tool by you, O God, to help free the prisoners, set the captives free. Please, O Lord, can I be a co-laborer with you in this? Prepare me for it. Because I want to see many saved like you do, Lord. You want to see so many saved. Well, then I have to have your heart too, Lord. And I need to remember my first love experience with you. I want to rejoice and walk on air again with you, O Lord. Please, bring me there. And the Holy Spirit will definitely tell you exactly what you need to do to begin to stir up that inside of you. Prayer. Singing praise songs. Reading the Word of God. And sharing your faith. It's going to start stirring. It's going to start stirring. You are going to be rejoicing. There will be a permanent smile fixed on your face at times. Sure, we're going to have our rough times, but that just has to come. We have to get the dross out. Self has to go away. So praise God for the times of our trials. We need them. So it's important, dear ones. It's really important that we remember those things. Point number 8, which is the last point also. We are commissioned to bring a message. Have faith in Christ Jesus, the message giver. This is the side note. We are but the message bearers. And I believe that there's an importance in understanding the difference. We are vessels, holy vessels, if we keep ourselves holy through the Lord. For the Lord. We are His vessels. We are to be sanctified and consecrated and purified by Him so that He can fill us with the Holy Spirit that we may go forth in the power of God, not in our power, not in our strength, not in our mind. No, that we may have the mind of Christ in all things that we do. We must be bearers. And we have to understand that. It is very, very important. So this, and the reason why it's so important is because what we are bearing is not ours. It's what was given. We have a responsibility to the giver to give it as He gave it. We are not to change it. I praise the living God that He has blessed us with such beautiful differences of personality, and yet still we can reflect Christ perfectly. That just amazes me. I don't know how the Lord does that, but that's really beautiful. We can still all have perfect, clean personalities through the Holy Spirit, and yet reflect Jesus perfectly if we walk in the light as He is in the light. But we have to always remember, we are the message bearers. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Revelation 14, 9 through 12. I'm going to continue to read down through this. Every feature of the third angel's message is to be proclaimed in all parts of the world. This is a much greater work than many realize. Our missionary enterprises are the one great object demanding our undivided attention at this time. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In this work, we are to study simplicity. This message is a testing message. Received into honest hearts, it will prove an antidote for all the world's sins and sorrows. No conditions of climate, of poverty, of ignorance, or of prejudice can hinder its efficiency or lessen its adaptability to the needs of mankind. The proclamation of the great gospel message is the work of the disciples of Christ. Some will labor for this in one way, and others will carry another branch of the work as the Lord calls and directs them individually. All have not the same line of work, but all may unite in their efforts. The word of the living God is to be proclaimed throughout the world. The gospel is to go forth with great power, marked by practical manifestations of the Spirit of God. Our workers are to become a living agency to reveal the purpose of God in calling them to His work. The word of the glorious gospel is to be preached in its divine comprehensiveness. By the living voice and by kind, compassionate deeds, we are to exemplify the principles of the gospel. The simple, effective methods of teaching truth are represented by the short routes. The truth may be advanced by works of charity, by helping the ignorant, the sick, the hungry, and the helpless. But our work is not to be confined to the outcasts. The highways as well as the byways are to be thoroughly worked. As manuscript 75, 1906, written September 1906, the Health Food Ministry, page 87 to 88. The Lord has had me really going over what I say I believe and understand concerning the faith, what I've been taught. Could I really, really share it? And I will tell you this. I have a problem at times, dear brothers and sisters, and please keep me in prayer. And the Lord is dealing with me. I have a problem with wanting to find some kind of creative kind of ways to get the message out and get the gospel out in a creative kind of way that will really, you know, capture the person and really help them to really just pay attention. And I believe in many ways that this beautiful little study that the Lord has brought to us really hits home to me a lot, because it's teaching me that I need to just keep things simple. Amen. We really need to not focus on how to make it a certain way. The Lord already made it a certain way. Our personalities, beautiful as they are, we have to make sure that it's the Holy Spirit that's always doing the moving of the vessel. Otherwise, that beautiful, powerful, simple message that is able to, it's living, it's able to slice left into the right, it's a divider, it's a binder, it's a healer, it's a breaker, it can do all the work. We have to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit. We have to humble ourselves before God. We have to allow the Lord to get self out of the way so that we are truly walking as those vessels that will speak simply. Keep it simple. Keep it easy. It's not complicated. If you're in front of a doctor, I am more than certain, though you may not even have a really huge college education, the Lord is going to give you the exact words that you need, even to reach someone who is a super mega doctor person, whatever that may be. He's going to give you all the words you need, and they're going to fit just right if we yield, if we humble ourselves, if we submit to the Holy Spirit, if we allow ourselves to truly be vessels unto God for holiness. The Lord is going to use us. Yes, we have to do our part. We have to be in prayer. We have to study. We have to ensure that self is dying by yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to search every little area and nook and cranny of our hearts and minds. We have to remove from our homes, as the Holy Spirit impresses, the things that are offending, the things that are hindering, the things that may be a stumbling block to somebody else in the home. We have to be willing to truly, oh my lands, thank you, Jesus, to truly put on Christ completely. As our dear brother said, to be truly swallowed up in Christ, hidden completely, nowhere to be seen. And, oh, that's a challenge, especially for me. I have to speak to it. I have that kind of unfortunate character flaw where I think I need to be able to, you know, deliver it this way, and I got to deliver it that way, and I got to deliver it this way. And the Lord is saying, can you just be quiet and deliver it my way? How about you calm your flesh down and just say it like this? That's what we have to really be able to do. We have to know what it is we're bringing. If there is a misunderstanding, if there is something not clear about the three angels' messages, about the everlasting gospel, about the loud cry, about the non-immortality of the soul, if we have misunderstandings or not clear about it, we need to get into the Word. We need to talk to our brothers and sisters who are, by God's grace, you know, been studied. The Holy Spirit has made it very clear that they've been walking close. But we have to get into the book ourselves. We have to search the Scriptures and make it truth for ourselves individually. Brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so can know everything that we are allowed to know at that particular time in the group of their life about one particular thing or three particular things. They may have that understanding by God's grace. But I need to get it for me. It kind of goes back in a certain way to having the oil. It has to be our oil. I can't go get Brother Rob's oil. I can't go get Sister Cece's oil. I can't go get anybody else's oil. I have to go to the Holy Spirit and get oil for my lamp for myself. I have to be in prayer for me and my growth. I may pray for my brothers and sisters, but am I studying also so that I may study to show myself approved unto God? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Am I doing that? Am I exercising my faith? Am I sharing it? What little bit I have, the woman at the well. I like to touch on that because it's really powerful. So the woman at the well. We can take what little we have and continue to build on that in Christ, as He is the only foundation that can be laid that we need to build on, and be careful what we build on. That's why the simplicity of this gospel needs to truly go forth with great joy, great soberness of mind. What was that word? Circumspect. Meaning taking into account all the situations that are going on around you as you are even being used of God to deliver it with understanding. We can go ahead and bring that with simpleness. Even as it was saying right here in the spirit of prophecy, our kind deeds even. Being compassionate, feeding those who need to be fed, clothing those who need to be clothed, with a joyful heart and with much love in our heart. The gospel is still being given, written in our actions as we walk in Christ. It is still being given. Living epistles unto God is what we need to be. But we have to carry the message. The people really need to know.
They need to understand that the law of God is very much alive and well. And they need to have an understanding about that. They need to know that Jesus Christ most certainly did die for our sins. They need to know that. But they also have to understand that he didn't die to save them in their sins. He died that they may be delivered from their sins and the power of sin over their lives. They need to have all that, that it's not just faith, 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 only faith. No, they need to have an understanding. They have their part. They must be willingly and lovingly obedient too. They must die to self, but all these are pieces that come in with the gospel message. They have to understand. They have to have a greater understanding of coming out. Coming out from where? The spiritual confusion that they're in. Whether they're attached to one particular church or a dozen different particular churches or whatever spiritual issues that they're having in whatever, how can I say, religion that they might be locked up in, even hedonism, which is the religion of self. They need to understand they have to come out of that. And only Jesus can get them out of that. That they can be delivered from all those things. They have to have that understanding. We have to learn how to bring that to them, but only in humility and grace. One spoonful at a time is very important. I just believe I have to make that note. One spoonful at a time. If you use a shovel, you might choke somebody. We have to give one spoonful at a time. It's very important. As I was spending some time with some family members today, I looked for every opportunity, because I've been praying about that for some time. Lord, how am I going to reach my family? They know what I've come through. They've seen my ups and downs in so many different religious types of things. It's not exactly super easy, Lord. They've seen my darkest ugliness. I'm a curious thing for them. So please, Lord, even while I'm there, help me. Help me to be able to share more about Jesus while I'm there, to stir up inside their heart that he is very much alive and well, and that we all must give an answer. So by God's grace, I was able to. And the Lord actually blessed in allowing certain things to happen that there were some troubles that they couldn't get done. So he allowed me to be able to be used and gave favor to me to get certain things done that they weren't able to get done. So I praise God for that. And I gave him all the glory. And I will continue to give him all the glory in their faces. And remind them, they are very well aware of the Sabbath. Because they have seen me trying and struggling. I praise God. I don't struggle anymore about the Sabbath. Praise the living God. But they've seen me walking, keeping the Sabbath for, what is it now? I'd say going on some, 7 years, 8 years. Because when I first came into this message, I wasn't very obedient and really didn't take it as serious as I knew I should. I knew it was true, but I had every excuse in the world to break it whenever I felt like it. And the Lord in his mercy continued to keep me alive until this very moment, breathing, and I praise his holy name. But they have seen that consistency of, no, it's the Sabbath. No, I can't do that. Sabbath is coming. The Sabbath of the Lord is coming. No, okay, well, I can be there up until this time, or I'll stop by after Sabbath. When they talk now, they already understand. My mom will ask me, or my sister will talk to me about something and want me to be able to help her out with a project or something like that, and I ask her, well, when do you need it done? Well, I need it in such and such as, oh, no, wait, that's your Sabbath, right? And I have to try and remind them, well, it's not my Sabbath. Because they like to try and say, oh, yeah, that's your Sabbath. Your Sabbath is, it's not my Sabbath. It's the Sabbath of the Lord. It's the Lord's Sabbath. And the only way to keep planting those seeds is in love. I can't get angry. They don't understand. But if I keep playing the seeds, the Lord is going to help them understand. So that's how we have to do it. At least that's how I've learned. Everyone has, a way that the Lord works in them. And I praise the living God for all that he is doing in each and every one of our lives to help reach others. And for those of you that are listening in, I praise the living God. I'm still praying to be able to hear your voices and to see you one day. But please press on. Share as you can. What little you can share, share it. Share it with the same first love that you felt when you knew Jesus loved you. Share it like that. Share it because you want the person who you're sharing with to know the kind of love that you know you have with Jesus Christ, with the Father, in the Holy Spirit. Please. That's really what I believe we really need to do. But that's, you know, something, how can I say, not so much that I believe we need to do it. From what the Lord has brought in all these different sections is the simplicity of the gospel with a humble, broken, contrite spirit, willing, ready, able, putting self on the altar, getting out there, getting hungry for souls, and winning souls. We have to. It's late. That was the message I kept giving to my family today, too. It's late. You know, it's late. There's not much time. The Lord's going to be here. It's almost over. The sense of urgency and the love for souls at the same time must combine. It's almost over. So that's what, you know, keeps weighing on my heart. That's what we really need, dear brothers and sisters. That same kind of loving urgency. And I guess maybe I'm driving the point too hard home, and I pray you'll please forgive me. But that same kind of loving urgency, or the first love urgency, that we wanted to share it with everyone, that's what we really need. And I just know that we will rejoice at every moment we can get to just share Jesus, even for a moment. Oh, I praise God. I'll be praying for you. Oh, I'll pray for your mom. I spoke with my Nana today, and I pray I can just share a little bit on that. And it rejoiced her heart to hear me, and it rejoiced my heart to hear her. Now, she's 93 years old, and she's suffering with some heart problems and things like that. She's tired. She's made it very clear. She's tired. But I had to encourage her and let her know. I said, well, I'll tell you this, Nana. If you are still here, there's a reason why you are still here. There's either something more you need to still learn or something more you need to still share. You are here still for a reason, right? And so she made a concurrence on that. I said, many are praying for you. The Lord loves you. I said, well, we are here for a reason. My mom, she's still here by God's grace. Look around you. Your neighbors are still here. Your loved ones are still here. There are things that need to get done. They are being given mercy and grace that they may come to salvation. Maybe that's what it is. Or that they may, if they've already come and they are just not being as obedient as they need to be, well, the Lord is being patient and very gracious towards them till they get obedient like they need to be. Then let us encourage them in Christ. Let us, how can I say, bind up each other like that in Christ and in love. Strengthen one another. You see a feeble hand? Strengthen that hand. You see a little limp in one of our brothers and sisters in their walk? Strengthen that in love. We have to really do this because those who are around us need to see that there is a unity in love in the midst of us that they do not experience and have not seen anywhere before. That's how they need to really see us. That's at least how I see it. It needs to be amazing because our God is amazing. So I praise the living God, and I thank you all for your patience. As I share this little thing, as wonderful little message, actually, I really, the more we got into studying it, the more I fell in love with it, and I just praise God for all that. Thank you all so much. If there's any questions and stuff like that, I guess we'll do that after closing prayer. Okay, as much as you're able to find a place to either kneel to pray or however you are comfortable before the Lord, let us bow our heads and hearts and pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, dear Lord God Jesus, precious Holy Spirit, we thank you so very much for the time that we were able to spend today in studying out more of what it is you want us to understand concerning bringing the gospel to the lost and showing the love of Jesus Christ in simplicity with an understanding that we need to really have that first love experience again.
We pray, O dear Lord, that you'll please embed these little words deep into the soil of our hearts and water them with your love. Help us to stay prayerful, to be watching, to study up, to sing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs to one another and in our hearts. Help us to truly, O Lord, show forth the love of Jesus Christ in everything that we do, being mindful of all that we do, so that all that we do will be to glorify you. Whether we eat, whether we drink, whether we dress, whatever we may do, O Lord, in the thinking and in the speaking, help us, O Lord, to have strength of the Holy Spirit to do all these things to bring glory unto you, that souls may be won, that they may see your Son shining in us, through us. Help us to remember that we are the vessels. We are just the clay, and you are the potter. Mold us and make us into your image, O Lord. We truly, truly wish to serve you very well. We pray, Almighty God, now that you'll please be with our dear brothers and sisters throughout the rest of the evening, and those that are online, bless them in a very special way. We pray, O Lord, that you'll please reach out to the hearts of those that we know that we've been praying for their salvation, our family and loved ones, and those who maybe we've had in our work area or the neighborhood, and we've been praying for them. You know who we have on our own personal prayer list, Lord, for those who we are praying for. So we lift them up before you too, Lord, in this special time, and pray that you'll please move with great power and move the Holy Spirit in such a powerful way that their hearts will be broken up and they will receive your holy word. We thank you for your love, Lord. In Jesus' name we thank you for all these things. Amen.
I was just going to say thank you so much to Brother for the beautiful blessing of the message that you shared. It was powerful. It was simple. It was to the point. It was extremely clear. And we have a work to do. And I praise the Lord for how you presented it in such a way to give us the encouragement to get out there and do more. And it gave me a little bit, made me think also of just this past week and the week before. We really truly never know who's really watching us or what have you. And one of the coworkers said to me, and it kind of took me by surprise, it was towards the end of the day, and she says, you know, Miss Carrie, you know, you always have a smile. And it's like all the rest of us during the day, we might be mumbling and grumbling, and I have watched you. And all during the day, no matter what they lay on you, all you do is smile. And, oh, no problem, no problem. And I never even knew that anyone saw or whatever, because in my heart, no matter what happens at work, I'm always, Lord, please help me to accept this and help me to understand what it is that I have to do. And I continue to pray for the co-workers there, the one lady in particular, Nicole, and all of the co-workers. But I thank the Lord for, as that little penny has been, the story of penny has been powerful, and being able to praise the Lord with her in different circumstances just this past week. And as we came together and were just praising the Lord of his goodness, and she says, yes, that's why I like to speak with you, because yeah, we can praise the Lord together. I said, absolutely. Amen. And so I find, you know, different character flaws in me when it comes to even just family members. And I solicit prayer for my brother, Wes, who continues to look for work, and it becomes a challenge. And I sometimes become exasperated with different things. And so I solicit prayer for him, but I solicit prayer for my coworkers. And I thank you so much for your prayers in my behalf and my mom as well. Thank you, dear brethren, as I continue to keep you in prayer as well.
Elder Rob, you could go ahead, and then I'll go right after you.
Oh, thank you, sister. No, I was just going to thank Brother Joel and praise the Lord for the message that he brought to us. It was a very powerful message, and yet it was a simple message. And sometimes the simple ones are the most powerful because they stick with you the longest. So praise God.
Praise the Lord indeed. I would like to share a testimony that I shared on Saturday. That was after the service. Many people had left. But I will begin with how it all started. Last week, Wednesday, was the beginning of this beautiful message. And that same day, I was moved to call a dear sister that I was sharing the gospel in New York. And I haven't heard from her for a long time, and the Lord was impressing me to call her. The only thing that was difficult was that she'd been working for the post office for so many years, she's no longer working there, but she used to do the night shift, which is very difficult for her to get back the morning, to sleep in the morning. So she still, even though she hasn't worked there for a long time, she has a hard time trying to be able to make her body go back to be able to rest at night. So it was very hard for me to be able to get in touch with her. But it was so much an impression that I just decided to keep calling and leaving a message. So finally, the same Wednesday where Brother Joel had shared this message with us, before the time that we were supposed to come into the chat room, I was actually on the phone with her. This dear person, when I met her, it was so unusual the way how we had met. When I was told to go back to New York, I was kind of wondering why the Lord wanted me to go back to the city. And I was kind of perplexed. But I didn't know what was the purpose. I just had to be obedient and go. So as I reached to New York, I started asking the Lord for favor. I said, Lord, please, if it's possible, if you want me to share the gospel with somebody, they all have to forgive me. I said, please, Lord, can you bring someone, some people that really would like to have a relationship with you, one that really desires to be able and hunger for you, because I'm kind of burned out a little bit with a lot of 7 days Adventist because my past experience was really, really heavy, which I'm not complaining, but it's really challenging because it's like trying to be able to share the gospel with individuals that basically, I can't really explain it, so I'm just going to keep it for those that really understand and for those that doesn't. It is more of a beautiful experience when a person doesn't know the Lord and they are so open, their heart is so humble, and you learn so much also from them than, how you say, scholars. And so anyway, I prayed, and as soon as I got there and I got the message through the Lord, and he knows that I really meant well when I said that, because the next day, I was going on visit this dear sister's mom that was in the home, and we had to get up very early at 5 o'clock to be able to let the van come and pick us up. As we got there, we got a phone call from someone that said that, are y'all at the home? I'm coming. And I didn't know the individual, but she kept saying, do y'all have a Bible? And we said, yeah. So this dear sister, which is the daughter of the mom that we went and visit, she says, this is the young lady that I was trying to tell you about, that she was studying with us before you came. So what happened is that when she got to the place, she sat down and she said, do you know, it was a Sunday, I was on my way going to the church, and the elevator got stuck. And I couldn't understand why the elevator got stuck and I was supposed to go to church. And at that moment, I was told to go to the nursing home to go and see the individual. And when she got there, she says, but when I was in the elevator, the Lord impressed me, no, if you want to go to study, you want to have the church, go to the nursing home. And she just happened to just be obedient and got there. As she started to give her experience concerning what happened to her in the elevator, I was saying, wow, Lord, you really work fast. I didn't really even realize that the petition was going to be so quickly. So when we started to be able to study in nursing home, this dear sister mother was able to hear the gospel as well. And at the same time, it took us to this dear sister that I was trying to talk to that same Wednesday when Brother Doyle was speaking on this message. When I met the other sister, she was saying, you know, I don't know, but can you just answer questions for me? And I said, I'll try by God's grace. She said, is the Sabbath on Saturday? And then I said, yes. She said, you know, my heart tell me it was, and I don't understand why, but I've been keeping, even though I don't know what I'm doing, she said, I've been keeping this day, not knowing in what manner, but I don't answer my phone on Saturday. I try to be able to not do certain things on Saturday because deep down in my heart, I felt that the Sabbath was on Saturday. And I was praising God because that's just to show you how powerful the Lord is, that some people learn by impression, some people learn by other individuals, some people learn by seeing somebody else's life. But the good thing about it is that the openness that she had to learn the Word of God, it was something very beautiful. It, like, it gave me a little bit more of a, how you say, zeal to be able to continue on because I was coming pretty beat up. So we got to be able to talk. We study a lot in the phone in the night. We used to have like reading and prayer. And to be able to make it short, the purpose why the Lord was impressing me to call her was that she's been bombarded. I've been here for almost a year, and I have not gotten an opportunity to be able to get in touch because of the time frame that I was explaining earlier. But she says, Sister Rose, something has been happening lately, and I just wanted to know because I was asking God, who can I really sit down and talk to be able to let them know because I don't know where this change came from. So when I finally got her and we did started to talk, I don't know why there was a heavy impression to be able to just give her a little bit of what was been going on in my life since I came, not knowing that the very thing that she was going to ask me was the very thing that I was sharing with her. She said, dear sister, all the people that I used to sharing the gospel with, you know, I talked to them about the Word of God. Now these people are becoming like my enemies. They don't want to hear the Word of God anymore. They don't. And she said, I don't understand why the purpose of the change. So we started to be able to go into the scripture and to be able to show what it is when the Christ said that when you come into our home or when you come into that city, how when they, you know, when they're supposed to receive you, if they don't, you have to, well, just to make a little bit of the information a little bit shorter because I don't want to stay real long. But she started to say that they started to persecute her because she wasn't going to church and she was actually worshiping at home. And she was reading her Bible, and they started to be able to persecute her for reading the Bible, and she needed to read it with a pastor or whatever. So we started to give, the information from the Word of God where it tells you that the commandment is still continuing. So the beautiful thing about it is that that day, she was praying, asking the Lord to find a way to help her to be able to share the gospel in a way biblically. Because the only thing she had was her spirit, which the people in the church was being persecutors of the way how she was living her life based on the message that was told to get out of it. And by sharing some of the scripture, she never knew that there was scripture there to support the very thing that she was being convicted. Now, as I came into the study, and Brother Joel was touching on a lot of the points that I experienced before I came into the shotgun. That day, it was a storm overhead over here. And I was praying, Lord, please let me stay in so I could be able to hear. And the beautiful thing about it, the storm was still overhead. The Lord allowed me to be able to stay in as long as I could. And then after, he just told me, okay, you can't be able to get out because when there's a storm overhead, you have to turn off computer, all of those things because things just shut up, like shut out the internet, and I was afraid of the computer that I was working on something at the time. So I copied the study and I put it aside for me to be able to read it. That same day that I came out of the chat room, the Lord had gave me some quotes, which by God's grace, if I can ask Sister Lynn, if I put it in the room, will you read it for me? I was so sad because I had to come out of the room, and I thought I was going to just lose my blessing. And as I came out of the room now, I said, okay, Lord, I wanted to study, so now what am I going to do now? Because I don't have the information, just a little bit that I had actually made copies of. But this is what the Lord had brought to be able to share it with the room.
Amen. This first quote is from Bible Commentaries, number 5, page 1121, paragraph 22, also manuscript release, number 1, 1889. Increasing faith. You have to talk faith. You have to live faith. You have to act faith, that you may have an increase of faith. Powerful. And thus, exercising that living faith, you will grow to strong men and women in Christ Jesus. And continuing, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, 2 Timothy 1, 9, Titus 2, 14, 3 and 5, and James 2, 22. Good works, no plea for salvation. Our acceptance with God is sure only through His beloved Son. And good works are but the result of the working of His sin-pardoning love. They are no credit to us, and we have nothing accorded to us for our good works by which we may claim a part in the salvation of our souls. Salvation is God's free gift to the believer, given to him for Christ's sake alone. The troubled soul may find peace through faith in Christ, and his peace will be in proportion to his faith and trust. Amen. He cannot present his good works as a plea for the salvation of his soul. But are good works of no real value? Is the sinner who commits sin every day with impunity regarded of God with the same favor as the one who, through faith in Christ, tries to work in his integrity? The scripture answers, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In his divine arrangement, through his unmerited favor, the Lord has ordained that good works shall be rewarded. Amen. We are accepted through Christ's merit alone, and the acts of mercy, the deeds of charity which we perform, are the fruits of faith, and they become a blessing to us. For men are to be rewarded according to their works. It is the fragrance of the merit of Christ that makes our good works acceptable to God, and it is grace that enables us to do the works for which He rewards us. Amen. And continuing, our works in and of ourselves have no merit. When we have done all that it is possible for us to do, we are to count ourselves as unprofitable servants. We deserve no thanks from God. We have only done what it was our duty to do, and our works could not have been performed in the strength of our own sinful natures. The Lord has bidden us to draw nigh to Him, and He will draw nigh to us. And drawing nigh to Him, we receive the grace by which to do those works, which will be rewarded at His hand. That's also from the Review and Herald, January 29, 1895. Again, Bible Commentary, Volume 5, page 1122, paragraph 3. Powerful, sister. Genesis 19:24-25, rocked in cradle of carnal security. As sun arose for the last time upon the cities of the plain, the people thought to commence another day of godless riot. All were eagerly binding their business or their pleasure, and the messenger of God was derided for his fears and his warnings. Suddenly, as the thunder peal from an unclouded sky, fell balls of fire on the doomed capital, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The people will be eating and drinking, planting and building, marrying and giving in marriage, until the wrath of God shall be poured out without mixture of mercy. The world will be rocked to sleep in the cradle of carnal security. The magnitude, multitudes are striving to forget God. Oh, it's so true. And they eagerly accept fables that they may pursue the path of self-indulgence undisturbed. Review and Herald, October 26, 1886. Again, Bible Commentary, Volume 5, page 1122, paragraph 4. Amen.
Thank you, dear Sister Lynn. That was the chapter that, those are the spirit of prophecy that the Lord had given me after when I heard the first section of this particular study that Brother Joel wanted to share with us. And I wanted to, by God's grace, that the next Wednesday, which was today, that I will be able to share how in the simplicity of giving the gospel, it is not only given by word, but also some people learn not only by words, sometimes people learn by the way how we live our lives. Some people have to learn, well, they have so many different ways of people learning the word of God. That's why at the beginning where it says we should walk, talk, which it is so amazing how you don't know in what way, in what manner the Lord will call you on that commission to be able to present yourself, be able to give them a hope of your faith, to bring them to Calvary. The purpose for sharing this, it was to be able to share the testimony of what happened to me during that week. I have two sisters. One is here, Sister Cilicia and Sister Cosima. Every morning, they always, by God's grace, bless their hearts, always send a message. Sister Cosima sent it with some beautiful pictures, and she have a scripture always saying, you know, have a blessed day. And Sister Cilicia always had scripture in what the Lord had impressed with that day, which is beautiful for us for the sake that sometimes we have other people that we are ministering to, and we don't really have the time because of phone situation. I only can call after 9. Still would like to text some word of encouragement to these dear souls trying to find the Lord. And one particular one that was sent to me was given to me 2 days prior than the Sister Cosima had sent it, and it's that beautiful picture of the Bible that says if when you read a verse each day, it takes the devil away. So I decided to incorporate it with the children's story, but I didn't know to what extent this was going to go further. That day, I decided to send it to a sister, not so much a sister in Christ, but it's just we know each other for such a long time because I know her mom. And I was impressed to send it to her. So when I sent it, like 30 minutes after, I got a phone call back. And I was so happy because I was saying, finally, because this person is very hard to be able to get in touch with. So that I started to share with her, praise the Lord, sister, I haven't heard, but what came out of the phone was a male's voice. And he said, oh, I'm sorry, this is not so-and-so, the individual. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I was trying to, get in touch with this dear sister. The last time when I have gotten this phone number is when her mom had passed. So I was trying to see if maybe she still had that number. And he said, no, I wanted to, to respond to it because of what you sent, which was the text. And then I said, oh, okay. So he said, I'm very sorry for, the loss of her mom. I could imagine how it is not to have your mom. When my friends lose their mom, it's like my heart goes out to them, and I could imagine. So you tell them something for me. Tell that person that her mom is in a better place, and her mom, and that was the opportunity. I said, okay, so I'm sorry, sir, but I really don't believe that because the dead doesn't know anything. But to proceed to be able to share the non-immortality of the soul with that person, he started to say, oh, you know, the Lord has been always using me since I was very young. You know, I have a tendency to be able to, you know, read people, but I don't read them through tarot card or anything like that. I just have the tendency. I said, I'm sorry, sir, but I the only one that knows man is God. He knows man's heart, and I really don't believe in those things. Those are spiritualism. So as we started to share, the Lord just kept impressing me to continue talking to him. So I said, you know, the Roman Empire had taught us so many ways of thinking that, you know, the dead, you know, goes up to heaven right away, and, you know, or if they're bad, they go to hell. So I started to be able to talk concerning the scripture. And this man started to cry on the phone and started to ask forgiveness for whatever it is that he, I didn't know at the time. I got very much surprised that he started to cry, and he started to say, you know, I've been trying to be able to get back to God for a long time, and I don't want him to come, and basically he will be lost. And as he was started to be able to, you know, to react in that manner, he said, isn't that something that's pulling somebody else, and here you call, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence. And then he said, what's my name? And I told him my name was Rose, and he said, my name is Angel. And I was like, wow, here it is, I'm calling somebody and I call Angel. And I said, by the way, you have a very a foreign accent, you know, where you're from. And he said, oh, I'm Puerto Rican. And I said, oh, really? I'm Mexican. So then the conversation went from English to Spanish. Now, the thing that is amazing is that even though I'm Mexican and I'm bilingual, I could stay in a conversation about a certain amount of time. But when it goes into biblical terms, this is where it's very challenging for me. I could keep a conversation regular, but when I'm bringing the Word of God, it's very difficult. So as I started to share the gospel with him, the thing that was amazing is that the Lord brought Spanish into my mind biblically in ways that I didn't even know that I had the ability, because this was one of my weaknesses, that I wanted to share the Spanish people the gospel, but I didn't have the ability to do so. And as we were talking on the phone, we started to share the information. He just started to say that he was a Christian, but he was Pentecostal. And I started to, you know, talk to him about the Revelation 18 to come out of her and all these different things on the phone. Well, that was the testimony concerning that day. But on Saturday, I came back from my walk, and the Lord impressed me to call him to see how he was doing, not knowing that when I called him, he was going through an epileptic seizure when I called him on the phone. And they had just finished calling the ambulance, and the sister said 10 minutes. So as we were talking on the phone, he said, you call? And then I said, no, I was just impressed to see how you were doing. And he said that he's waiting for the ambulance. As we started to talk and I started to sing with him and reading the scripture with him, he started to say that he was very much afraid for the Lord to come again. He keeps saying, I'm afraid that the Lord will come and I'm going to be ready. I need to get back to God. I need to be able to go to where it is that he wants me to be able to go. So I decided to call my other sister on the phone and decided to say, can you speak with me, with this gentleman, that's the guy that I was talking about with you concerning the testimony. And she said, sure. So I stayed on the phone. So we started to talk, and then to be able to calm him down, he said, how did you know how to be able to call? And I was asking God, please, Lord, help me. And I didn't know that you were going to be the one to be able to. I said, praise the Lord, just calm yourself a little bit down until when the ambulance will come. You know, the thing that was so amazing is that while we were talking on the phone, I started to be able to sing And I told him, you know, if you sing a song, maybe you will calm yourself and the seizure will not come because you're kind of nervous. And then he started to say, my goodness, I can't even believe that I can't remember not even a song that I used to know when I used to walk with God. And he started to cry again. My heart goes out so much. So this dear man, I don't know him from anywhere, but I know that when you have a sincere heart and you cry out for God, God finds you wherever you are. And at that very moment, he started to feel that he was going to get the seizures, and he started to growl in his voice. And this dear sister got so frightened, she said, I gotta go. So she left, and I stayed on the phone. The Lord said, stay with him. And as he was going through his seizure episode, the Lord told me to take the Bible and just started to read different songs, and I was reading the Bible. It took a while for him to be able to kind of come out from it. And the only thing he had came out to say, please don't stop. Just keep going. But I think this dear sister had gotten a little bit afraid, because if you would have heard how he was actually going through on the phone, you would think that he was, something else was on, you know. But the Lord said, so stayed on the phone with him, continued reading the Psalms with him and praying. And then I heard him say, because as soon as when I started to read the Psalms, I think I read like about 3 or 4, you could hear the agony kind of settle down to the point that I wasn't hearing anything anymore. And I just decided to continue reading. And then that's when I heard he say, okay, Rose, the ambulance is here. And he started to tell the man from the ambulance, please just carefully put me in the, I don't know what you call that kind of bed. I don't know if you call it gurney. But he was saying, okay, we're leaving now, but please call me back. The only thing I can say is that, dear Virgin, can you please pray for Angel? He really wants to do God's will. I know that there's a lot of things that he's going through. So if it's possible, can y'all please keep him in prayer? Keep Angel in prayer and also Bibi in prayer. And those dear souls that will share the gospel in New York. Okay, thank you.
Amen, dear sister. Powerful, powerful testimony. And definitely we'll be keeping Angel or Angel in prayer, and Dee Dee, and all of your reach out that the Lord has basically put in your path, that you would minister to them, that you would allow the Holy Spirit to minister to them. And what a powerful, powerful testimony. Amen. And getting back a little bit on how others see your life, Bebe and Angel and Jeanette, amen, we'll definitely be keeping them in prayer. And many of you know that by God's grace, I tend to try and do my little part with the outreach for our Spanish-speaking brethren. And I've been having quite a bit of problems lately, whether it was with my phone or with the internet or with the router. And now it seems like my computer might have a virus, and so I haven't been able to upload my the tapings onto the Dropbox, but I just keep it in prayer, because it's like I have that burden that I have to do it, you know. And sometimes I feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm not reaching anybody, but God knows I'm trying, and by His grace, I want the message to still be there. The other day, my mom said that she had gone to the post office, and that there was a gentleman there. And he said to her, can I help you? Because my mom is elderly now, and she's having a little difficulty walking and things like that. And she says, oh, thank you, sir. That's so kind of you. And he says, you look like a Christian. Are you a Christian? And she said, yes, sir, I am. And so he says, so am I. And I'm Pastor so-and-so from XYZ Church. And she says, oh, okay, sir. And I go to XYZ Church and such. And please come and join us. I go to church on Sabbath or Saturday. And he says, oh, really? Okay. And really, but my congregation, I tend to, I have a Spanish congregation. I'm from, I forget what country she said that he said he was from. Hear my mom now, never realizing that she really even saw anything. She says, really? My daughter tapes Spanish programs of a pastor every Sabbath, and she puts it on the internet. And I'm sure that you would love to go and get that. And he says, oh, yes, please. I would love to meet her. I would love to get that information. He gave her his card, and my mom hasn't given me the card yet, but pray for that pastor, because if by some way, you know, that's how the Holy Spirit will get to him, I pray for that. And so that means that the little bit that I can do that the Holy Spirit helps me for, that it can reach more and more people, you know? And so even with all of these different XYZ things that are happening right now, I know it's the enemy that's trying to prevent me from doing that. And I keep being determined. It's like this burden on me that I have to do it, you know? And it's not that it's like a burden. No, it's like I want to do it. And it upsets me when I'm not able to do it. And so please keep that in prayer and keep that pastor in prayer that, you know, that the truth can come to him, because we are seeing in these very last hours, I mean, they just overturned this thing about gay marriage or what have you, and then now today they're talking about they oust the Egyptian president. Unrest, you know, unrest wherever you go. We know that the time is short. And so by God's grace that we would not allow anything to deter us, that we would continue to be soldiers for Christ, and that is my prayer.
Well, if it's okay, then I would like to go ahead and pray for those issues that were just recently brought up. Dear and gracious Heavenly Father, dear Lord God Jesus, precious Holy Spirit, what beautiful testimonies you are writing in all of our lives as we follow your way. And you are opening so many different opportunities for us to be able to please you and win more souls to you, O Lord Jesus. We lift up unto you, Bibi, Angel, and there was one more, and I pray that you please forgive me, because I just forgot the name. So please forgive me. The Lord does know. But there are special needs that are here, O Lord, in reaching those who are crying out for help, and they want to know you. And the preacher for that particular denomination, we know that you are calling all to come out of Babylon. So we're praying, O Lord God, that you will also use this particular ministry that you've laid on our dear sister's heart for all the Spanish-speaking people around the world, even, because it can be seen everywhere, that you will please continue the blessing in this area. We pray for Angel, especially, though, Lord, for his health and, more importantly, for his salvation as he is crying out to know you more, and for Bibi also. We are lifting these people up to you, O Lord God, because you love them very dearly, and you place them on our hearts to love them as you love them. So please pour out your mercy and grace and give us, even each of us, if there's a word that we need to share, or a way in which we can reach out, even for myself also, I'm not very far away from the gentleman, and I pray that if there's a way that you can give me an opportunity somehow to maybe meet with him or anything like that that I can do as a brother in the Lord, then I pray that please strengthen me in that area, that I can strengthen him. And in Jesus' name, Lord, we pray these things, that you'll help us to be able to help these people seeking you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And also, praise the Lord that she was able to download this Bibi. She was able to download, she was able to come in the room because she wanted to know if there were anybody besides who she knew. She said, okay, I know you believe the same, but is it only us? And I said, no, there is a range of family all over the world. And at the time when we were studying, you know, when we were in New York, we didn't have a chat room that I was moved to be able to allow. Because the first time when she was trying to do the prior chat room, she got a Trojan on her computer. I don't know how she got Trojan, but, you know, things happen for a reason and the way how the Lord does things, but she was able to come in. Now, praise God that she was able to come in. She has everything set up. Now, can you keep her in prayer for the sake that in the nighttime she's able to come in because of the hour trying to be able to adjust her sleep, that she may be able to also participate in coming in and getting to know her brethren, because she really believed that she might be the only one over there. And yes, Brother Joel, I will be sharing the information with you for this dear brother, because all of the people that I'm talking about, they are on that side of the United States.
I have a quick question. Maybe just using some advice. And I've prayed on it, but just wanted to hear some advice from my dear brothers and sisters. So, as Tia Rose pointed out, I do send out messages in the morning by God's grace. And before, I was sending them out every day because it is my prayer, my hope to help everybody come to the understanding of God and the Holy Godhead, and just show them the joy that I know and that I've been experiencing. And my problem is I don't want to feel like some of these people that I am sharing with, they are younger, and I don't want to feel as if I'm inundating them or if I'm Bible beating them or if I'm being somewhat coercive or anything off the way. So I have a set of people who would say, if I don't send, I used to send it daily, and I was like, you know, I don't want them to feel like I'm just pushing and pushing and pushing, but I do really so want to encourage them every day or just give them a word. It could just be someone. So I'm torn between sending it to some people and some, but my problem is, what if I don't send it today and somebody really needed the word, and then I lost that opportunity? So I've tried to scale back. Instead of sending every day, I try to send it every other day or sometimes two or three times out of the week instead of doing it every single day. But if it's up to me, I'll send it every day. You know, but I just don't want to come off as being forceful. And I have prayed about it. And we're just seeking some advice on what's the best way to go about doing it so that I, you know, don't push anyone away, so to speak. And no one has asked to stop. In fact, on days that I haven't sent out to some messages, people would say, hey, where is the word today? You know, where is it today? You know, or, you know, some people who I send and they never respond, never ever respond. They say to me, and I'm like, oh, wow, this person never responds. And like, for example, today, one dear brother said, good morning, thank you so much for the daily scriptures. And I was like, wow, he is getting them, he is reading them. But I just want to continue to do the work the best way I know how to, but I just don't want to feel like if I'm overdoing it. Any advice would help, thank you.
Dear sister, I understand you don't want to drive anyone away, but you want to witness to them. And what I can tell you is pray to God for direction. And if God is impressing you to do it every day, then do it every day. What the Bible tells us to avoid is if we're giving the gospel to someone and they're fighting against it, then that's the time that you do once or twice, and then you stop. But if someone isn't fighting against it, you continue. It's like the door is still open. And so I would encourage you to take it to God, and if he's impressing you and he's giving you peace in sending out those Bible texts and words of encouragement every day, then do it every day, dear sister. And it's true, you know, some of the people that you send it to may not read it for that day, or they may not read it for a week. But when they need it the most, God is going to direct them to read your email and get the encouragement that they need for that particular time. So I would encourage you to continue forward, sister. This is a way that you can minister to others in a very simple way and indeed touch hearts. So continue forward, and I will definitely be keeping your outreach evangelism in prayer, that God will indeed allow precious souls to be won to Him through His Word being shared with them through you, dear sister. So go to God and then continue forward with what He is leading you to do.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I know that in the sense that it is working, because I've seen certain people, they would start going through certain issues, and then they would text me like, hey, can you please give me a call when you get home? I need to pray. And I'm like, okay, you know, you could pray now, but we will pray when we get home. But, you know, whatever it is, pray now, say a prayer. And, you know, so I know, and no one has yet to say stop, you know, and I don't know if they're doing enough to hurt my feelings, but you are absolutely right in saying that if they're not putting up a fight, then I will continue. And that's just my hope, because once again, I want to get up. Sometimes I want to get up on the train, and when I read in the morning and tell everybody what I'm reading, and but I'm afraid that I might mess up and say, so I tried a different approach. I said it in words. I am better with writing and saying it that way. And if I feel like if I'm saying something wrong, I would check with my dear aunt and say, hey, if you are getting any of these, and if, you know, anything that I'm not supposed to be saying. And she encouraged me, and she said, you know, this, they are wonderful. So while I'm not there yet to get up and say it in words, you know, I am trying with the messages. So I just pray that the Lord continues to give me the ability to do so.
There's a song that is kind of on my heart right now, and I think it's a hymn where it says, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus, His Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. I'm sure Brother Joel can do it so much better.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all might go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Great things He He hath taught us, great things He hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He hath done.
It's a beautiful song. We love that song too.
Amen. And thank you, brother and sister. Are there any other questions or comments or testimonies or songs that you would like to sing, dear ones, before we close? Please go right ahead. Well, indeed, to God be the glory. And I want to thank you, dear ones, for coming to this midweek church service. I pray that your spirit was uplifted, that your soul was fed with the food from above, and that you will not forget what you have heard, but it will indeed become part of you and lived in your life, so that God may indeed be glorified and precious souls can be snatched from darkness and from the kingdom of Babylon to enter into Jesus Christ in the kingdom of righteousness. So may God go with each one, and we look forward to fellowshipping with you again soon. In fact, just in a couple days. So, go with God, dear ones.